Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? Come in, sit down. If you want to contact us, it's 51551 for your text, or you can send us an email to ray@rte.ie. I see there they were talking about vaccines, a vaccine of a different kind. I see that a portrait of health campaigner Laura Brennan has been unveiled at the Royal College of Physicians in Ireland. Laura, who died from cervical cancer in 2019 at the age of 26, you remember her appearance on The Late Late Show, and she was an advocate for the HPV vaccine. And she's the first health advocate who's not a doctor to be honoured in such a way at the Royal College of Physicians. And well deserved as well. The college's collection stretches back 300 years and comprises of 95 portraits in all, honouring those who have played a significant role in Irish medicine and healthcare. The president of the College of Physicians, Mary Horgan, said the portrait will serve as a constant inspiration and a source of admiration and a reminder to all the power of advocacy and the health of the nation. And Laura's family were at the event and they said it was a fitting tribute, and it is. And we need somebody like Laura now to convince the people who haven't got vaccinated against COVID-19 to get vaccinated. Those people who can. And I know there are people, for health reasons, as was said over and over again, and will be repeated, who can't get vaccinated. But for those who can, those 300,000 people, please, please, please. And they're not going to do it because I plead with them. But if, I don't know how we get the message across, but we need to get the message across, because as was said there, we're on a knife edge again. Just when we thought we were out the other side, just when we thought that next Friday was going to be Freedom Day, it may still be, but things are touch and go. 51551 ray@rte.ie. We got a package into the office today, quite a weighty package, and we opened it up with excitement, and inside was a clock. Now, we think it's from ROM. We're not too sure. It looks like it could be R-A-I-N, Rain, not, no, ROM. We think ROM, South Douglas Road in Cork. I just heard your remark before the weekend that you were looking for a clock. Well, I just made you one, just like that. I hope you accept it and enjoy the sound and visual. I call it a lockdown clock. No need to explain that. Started doing driftwood art when we were incarcerated last year. That's right. I think it's ROM. And it's a piece of wood. It's like a, you know, a piece of a trunk of a tree. So I could count the rings on it, if you like, and see how old the tree was before it was cut down. ROM Hyde. There you go. Thank you very much. ROM Hyde. We've got it. ROM Hyde. So thanks for that, ROM. And he's burnt in the music of Hey Jude. So Hey Jude, and then the music is there underneath, and then the clock face is to the right of it. That will take up a position of prominence in my house, ROM. Thank you so much. And by the way, I was looking for a new car, ROM. While you're at it, if you could fashion something from driftwood. Down still in Cork, Paul Hosford from the Irish Examiner tweeted, this is interesting because we were actually talking, myself and Tom, my son, were talking about this last night. He was asking me, how long does it take you to go to sleep, Daddy? And I was going, well, I'd have to read for an hour, and then I don't really know, probably 10, 15 minutes. Paul Hosford was saying, this is his experience of going to bed and getting to sleep. I get into bed, put my head down and go to sleep within a few minutes. I sleep till I'm woken or done sleeping. Then apparently I'm the weird one. Well, I think you are. I think most people wouldn't find it that easy. I do have to read. I don't know about you, have to read. It's part of the whole ritual of going to sleep. And then just as you're drifting off, sometimes you might find yourself half asleep and the book in your hand. And sometimes if you're really unlucky, it'll fall to the floor and you'll wake up with a fright from the bang. And your partner, if you're lucky enough to have one, will give you an elbow and say, what the what's going on there? And then eventually you go to sleep. I'd say 10, 15 minutes on a good night. And then some nights you're lying awake hours later. And of course, what happens then is, you know, the whole thing of not going asleep plays on your mind. So that's the worry, not anything else. That's an interesting one. And you know, James Kavanagh, we like him on social media. And he's got a great thread going now. This is where some of the best conversations are happening, ladies and gentlemen. So he's talking about nicknames and why people are called particular nicknames. And there's some really funny ones. A guy I know, this is this person, a guy I know is called Bin Man because he was thrown into a bin when he was in school. He's in his 40s now and still called Bin Man. And somebody else says, there's a guy in my hometown who goes on a lot of solo holidays and his nickname is Catherine Thomas. That's, they get better. Says you the better. Fella I know gets called Early June. His name is End of May. See, end of May, early June, right? Right, maybe this one then, maybe this one. I know a fella called Dolly Parton. His name is Joe, and he used to work for the council and always leaned on his shovel. So, you know, Joe Lean, Dolly, no? Okay. I don't think I had, it's a different, there's a difference between a nickname and a variation of your own name, isn't there? And the guy goes, I was called Arcy Darcy. And then for a time in college, I was called Evening Meal Ray because I was the lad who'd had very few lectures and would go to the supermarket and cook the evening meal for the other lads. Evening Meal Ray. They're harmless enough, aren't they? 51551 ray at rte.ie. Just on advice, because I've been talking about this for years and I think it's more important now than ever. Vitamin D. Vitamin D. We spoke to a man years ago called Paul Offit, and he's a paediatrician in the States. He's written a number of books. And he wrote a book on complementary medicine, all the various supplements we take, vitamin C, vitamin D, all those sort of things. Anyway, he concluded through his research that the only vitamin worth taking, particularly if you're in Northern Europe, as we are, and you don't get a lot of sunlight during the winter, is vitamin D. And then we heard during lockdown, a number of doctors and scientists came out and said, if you want to bolster your immune system, vitamin D is the one. So it's there. It's available in your supermarket. I'm just reminding you now that vitamin D is a good thing to do. Brian Adams, yes, got my first real six string. Yeah, that Brian Adams, he's going to be talking to us live from Canada. I presume he's in Canada. I don't know for a fact, but I presume he's in Canada. And then we get the old gang back together. Yeah, Bachelor's Walk Boys. Michael and Barry and Raymond, also known as Keith and Don and Simon. I don't know if they're in that particular order. So that's coming up. And of course, after 4 o'clock, to keep our Love Island theme going this week, we had Toby yesterday. And today it's Greg O'Shea time. Greg O'Shea after our quiz of today, which I'm going to tell you about. It's a sort of a sad day today because we're saying goodbye to our quiz of today. Oh, I know. It has served us well for the last year, but we find we're repeating ourselves. You may have noticed that. If you hear the Baywatch theme tune one more time, you'll throw the cat at the radio. Yeah. So we're resting the quiz of today, maybe forever, and we're starting a new quiz on Monday. It's a variation on the theme. We'll tell you about that on Monday or maybe even tomorrow. Anyway, last quiz of today. So we're looking for the final two contestants on this iteration of our quiz. And you know what it is, 10 questions on events that happened on this day, which is the 14th of October, over the years. And we have a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork. Beautiful rooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa, and an extensive health club. The Kingsley.ie, an ideal place actually to explore Cork City or County. You can visit Blarney Castle, Rumley's Open Farm. Go west, young man, to Kinsale and Crosshaven, or east to Ballycotton and Youghal. Whatever you have in yourself, Kingsley.ie. So, if you want to be involved and come on after 4 o'clock and answer 5 questions on events that happened on this day, first you have to answer our qualifying question. Concerned over the continued high number of COVID-19 cases in Ireland is in the news today, with the government set to decide on lifting restrictions next week. Can you name the CMO, the Chief Medical Officer? 1850-715-900. That's 1850-715-900. Thank you. And we'll be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, just to whet your appetite and get you in form for the man himself. Here he is. Oh, yes. Brian Adams, run to you. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Brian Adams, run to you. And we'll be speaking to the man himself after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, the hex of the promo. There's such a thing in radio. When you say somebody's coming up and build up to it, then they just disappear. Yeah, that'll teach you. Anyway, I knew someone whose nickname was Pothole. He was best avoided. Very good. And I know a builder whose nickname is Yorkie because he's big, rich and thick, says Claire. Paul in Soar says, on funny names, there was a guy in my class called Just In Case. Just In Case. Right. Is that his real name or his nickname? And if so, why was he called Just In Case? I tell you what, we're trying to get Brian Adams back on the line. I happened upon this while I was doing my research this morning. And we've talked about this song in the past, Summer 69. I found this lovely version from the MTV Unplugged session. Probably a version you haven't heard before, unless you're a big Brian Adams fan. It's nice. Oh yeah. Good afternoon, good morning, Brian Adams.
Got me?
Hello, Brian.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for taking our call. While we were trying to get you back in the line, I was just playing the version of Summer of 69 from the MTV Unplugged album.
Oh yeah.
Which is a lovely version. And there's a strong Irish connection, isn't there, to that album, because Davy Spillan, the Illan piper and low whistle player, played at that concert.
He did, yes.
Yeah. And he played, you would have toured with you as well, and you're back touring next year and coming to Ireland. The So Happy It Hurts Tour 2022, that's the name of the album, and it's also the name of the new single, which we're going to play before the end of the chat. So a lot happening. So tell us about your last 18 months. That's the question everybody is asking everybody now, isn't it?
Yeah, what did you do during the lockdown? Well, yeah. I know. I just sat down and I've got to be honest, I actually really enjoyed it because I didn't think at the beginning it was going to be that easy because we just would go on tour all the time and we'd have 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and so. But then suddenly, I just realized that it was actually great because I was with my family and we were all hunkered down together and it was fine. It was, and I wrote songs and I got doing what I do, just hanging around and started making an album. And so this album really is all the songs that I had, you know, sort of brewing for, and some of them I've had for ages and just had forgotten about them. But because I had time to sort of go through everything, I was finding little gems in my files and computer and thinking, oh, she finished that song.
Yeah.
And I had the time to do it.
And is So Happy It Hurts, is that referring to the fact that you found yourself in this lovely place where you weren't on the road and you're in the bosom of your family?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, one of the things that we all discovered when the whole thing came down was that we didn't have the spontaneity just to do what we wanted.
Mm.
So this is sort of the answer to that. This song is, and in many ways, the album is just sort of the antidote to, you know, the fact that we couldn't just jump in the car and go. You know, we needed to have that spontaneity back in our lives, and so this song is just about the open road and getting back to that.
Aha. Uh-huh. So your family, you have two daughters, Lula and Mirabella. They must
be. No, she's Bunny. Her name is Bunny, actually, not Mirabella.
All right, Bunny. Right. There we go. I don't know where that's. So there. Where is Mirabella from? Have you any idea? No. That just.
Yeah, that was originally the idea. Or her name, but her name is Bunny.
Ah, right. Bunny. Okay, right. Okay. So they must be the most photographed young girls in the world, I'd say, because that's your other passion, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, when a lot of times it's actually them photographing everybody.
Right.
They can't. They're just trying to get a hold of the phone the whole time.
Yeah.
And if you have kids, you know what I mean.
It's yeah, just, I do, yeah.
They're trying to keep them away from the iPhones and the iPads. It's difficult. In fact, when the whole lockdown thing happened, we sort of, you know, not let the kids have any access to the computer at all, or the phone. And then suddenly the schools were giving him iPads, so they were just loving
delighted.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You know,
yeah.
We love school now.
and do you? Because we take so many photographs now, don't we? Because it's so accessible on our iPhones or whatever phone you have.
Yeah.
Do you print off many? Do you frame them, or what way do you work?
Actually, no. I tend to not do that. If it's something really personal, perhaps, and sometimes if I'm taking pictures of other people, I'll print them off and send it to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, of yours truly, nah.
Nah, no, right. Because, like...
The kids, yeah.
Yeah, the kids, yeah. You photographed the Queen of England, Amy Winehouse, before she died. It's... was that always there, Brian, or did it come later in life, the photography?
Well, it's just sort of always been there. I used to just take a camera with me to document my work, and not really thinking that it would be that I was any, you know, that anything I was getting was anything better than anybody else. But when I look back now at my files, you know, the fact that I was able to have all this access to all the things we were doing. I wish I'd printed it all at the time because, you know, going back even to the, you know, all the records I made back in the 80s,
yeah.
I've got footage of all that I just took in the studio and just never released it.
Well, there's a documentary there. I see Disney Plus are doing a 3-part documentary on the Beatles, unseen footage.
Yeah, so. I don't think you can put me in the same sentence.
well, yeah, I don't know.
But thanks very much.
Yeah. But it's unseen footage. I think your fans would love to see it.
It's not the same.
Not the same. Okay, right.
But they're very, very kind of you. Very kind of you.
Yeah, listen.
Very kind.
We were going back through your gigs here in Ireland, and we went back to one in the Point Theatre. It's called the Three Arena now, and you're coming to that next May. Back in July of 1996, which is 25 years ago. And the headline in the Irish Times for the review of your gig was "Inflatable Underwear, Orgasms and Marriage Proposals. Just some of the elements on display at Bryan Adams' concert last night." Must have been a good night.
It's not much different really anymore. It's the same.
Yeah. And there's a picture with it. There's a picture there as well of you with Brad Pitt backstage at the Point Theatre.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So did he fly in specially for that, or what was the story of your mates?
I think he was making a film there, I don't know what was going on, to be fair. But nice of him to drop by.
Yeah, nice. Do you know about slow sets, Bryan Adams?
Do I know what?
Do you know about slow sets? I don't know if it happened when you were growing up in Canada, if there was a sort of a local hop or a disco or whatever, and then they'd play fast music and people would dance, and then they'd play four or five slow songs. And that's when people would put their arms around each other and have a slow set. We had them in here.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, this your song, because I used to DJ in nightclubs and all that sort of thing, and this was the slow set song.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. Well, I say there are people listening now, Brian, and they're going, people got together over that song. People proposed to each other over that song. People danced.
I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Even now. I mean, it's not stopped.
No. There's something about that particular one, isn't there?
Yeah, who knows? It's just got a thing.
Yeah. How do you know when a song has a thing?
When it's 40 years later, when people are still playing it.
That's it, isn't it? And what about you playing the songs from 40 years ago? Do they go in and out of...
Yeah, no trouble.
No trouble.
No trouble.
Yeah.
I love it.
Did your favourites change over time? You know, like, would it be one tour, be Summer 69, next tour, Run to You, then maybe...
I'll tell you what, this is the truth. When I actually get to do gigs and... I'm really grateful that we're going to be able to do them again, because for a long time, or for some time here during this whole period, I thought, well, maybe that's it. Maybe I'm retired and I don't realize it, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing that occurs when you're up there doing it is when you have that many songs for so many years and you get to look down at your set list, it's like, oh, I get to play that one next. great. And because you know what's going to come.
Yeah.
And you kind of know the reaction that people are going to have. And yeah. No, it's as you'd say, it's grand.
It's grand, yes. And all you have to do is do the opening chords of Summer 69 and the audience take over. Brian's shows are always brilliant, says Hugh. I've seen him play in Ireland, UK, and once while on holiday in Orlando. We drove down to Tampa with the family for an acoustic show. That was amazing, says Hugh. And went to Brian Adams' concert when I was visiting my brother in Calgary at the Saddle Dome in 2018. Always remember it as a brilliant concert, says Denise in Limerick. And love Brian's voice. I've never, ever, and I mean ever, heard him singing bad live. What a voice. And great memories of the RDS in 1993. Brian was supported by Aslan. Fantastic concert. Any chance Aslan could support Brian next year? Well, that's out of our hands. It'd be great, says Mike in Tyna in Galway. Big fan. And is there...
That is a nice thing to hear. Thank you for everybody writing in.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the SSE Arena in Belfast, the 29th of May. And then the 30th of May, 3 Arena Dublin. So Happy It Hurts is the name of the tour, the name of the single, and the name of the album, just to make it easy for us.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah. The album doesn't come out till March.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell everybody why. It's the craziest thing.
Go on.
But there's a sort of resurgence in vinyl, which is... happening, and in order to get vinyl, you've got to queue up and wait because everybody else wants to do
right.
it as well.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing has been postponed for nearly a year
right.
to get vinyl.
Right. It's another one of those supply chain things, isn't it?
I don't know what
it's
it is.
It's affecting the whole world. I heard it on the radio this morning on our news program. Like there's numerous container ships waiting to get in to, say, some place off the west coast of America. The boats are slow coming from China. There's all sorts of delays. But I thought that somebody like you, Brian Adams, would be able to skip the queue, no?
Well, yeah, I put a word in.
Did you? Yeah.
And it just got a ringtone, nothing.
Right, all you so, do is say a couple of free tickets for a concert here or there. You know, that's what you do.
Maybe I should try that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's coming out in March and it's all fine. And we're, you know, we'll sit back and we'll probably put another song out after this one. And I hope everybody's enjoying it. So far, it's been getting a great reaction.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's going to be a real belter live, I promise you.
And it's new and old, which is great. So all the hits will be there and songs from So Happy It Hurts. Yeah. Final question for you. Do the two girls realise what Daddy does? Do they appreciate?
Yeah, I'm just really... I mean, to them, it's all right. I mean, I think they love it when they can come on tour.
Right,
but if I break into song while I'm walking into school, they, you know, the eldest looks at me like, oh god,
yeah.
Just shut it, you know.
That's a lovely image, you walking in, breaking into everything.
No,
everything
true.
I do, I do
mean,
it for you.
Just,
yeah,
you know, if I just kick into a song, it's like, oh god,
yeah.
Please, just come on, it's really embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but that's what parents are for, Brian. Parents are put on the planet to embarrass their children. That's what we do.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's just when we're walking together.
Yeah,
you know, I get the little hand put on my mouth. Shut it.
Yeah.
Shut it.
So tickets on sale tomorrow, ticketmaster.ie. The single which we're going to play now is available now to download, and then the album next March, as you say, because of the vinyl delay. The vinyl delay. That's what we're going to call it. Brian Adams, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Hey, thanks. And by the way, everybody who watches the video, yes, that's my ma in the beginning of the video.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Isn't that brilliant? Is this the first time?
Yeah, she's 93.
93?
Yeah.
And how is she?
She's all right.
Yeah.
You know, she's all right. She's hanging in there. So, hanging in like Gunga Din.
Ah, and for her to have witnessed all of your success over the years, amazing. Yeah.
Well, now she's getting there. She's the star of the show.
She's
now.
The star of the show. I have to go and watch that. So Happy It Hurts. The video
yeah.
starring... What's your mum's name, Brian?
Jane.
Jane Adams. Right,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Right, great talking to you, Brian. Mind yourself.
All the best, right?
Okay, see you. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, bye. So Happy It Hurts, the new single from Brian Adams. He is a lovely, understated guy, isn't he? I really enjoyed that 10 or 15 minutes in his company. Okay, Bachelor's Walk Boys are on the way after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we don't want to feel old here, but it's been nearly 20 years since Simon Delaney, Don Witchley and Keith McAleen first appeared on our screens in Bachelor's Walk. Nearly 20 years, lads. Mm. Yeah. Mm. They've been reunited once again, this time for the play Art, that's ART, which will be streaming online from the 14th to the 17th of October. And the three lads are in studio with me. Good Yay. Afternoon. Yay. Yay.
You put your hand in your head there when you're doing that, as if to say, this is going to be trouble.
You drew lots outside, obviously, and Don got the poor the seat at the back.
Can you hear us over there
now?
Oh, man, Don.
Great to see you all.
Oh, Lord.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, so this really is a variation of Bachelor's Walk, isn't it? Because there's three mates and it's comedy. This play, Art. Yeah. Yeah.
Except it was written by a French woman many years ago and it's nothing really to do with Bachelor's Walk.
No, but it's
really similar.
But it is about friendship, isn't it? It is about friendship, about Simon. I'll just talk to you. Yeah, forget about him.
Yeah. Yes. It's a play about three friends who've been pals for an awful long time. And one of them goes out and buys a piece of art, pays a lot of money for this piece of art, and it creates tension, let's say, amongst the three friends, some of whom like it, some of them pretend to like it, and they all really hate it. But it's a play about friendship and about, you know, how much a relationship can change by one little thing happening, by someone walking out and buying a painting.
And it's abstract art, isn't it, Don?
Yeah. I mean, art is subjective, I suppose. I play the character of Serge. I play Serge, who buys this piece of art, which seems to cause the tension.
For 200 grand.
200,000. And I think one of the lads thinks it's maybe a bit of a midlife crisis. He goes over to talk to the other friend and going, have you heard what he's done? And so then they all come looking. And so they disagree. And eventually there's a denouement when the three of them
meet together. What's that mean?
They all get together in the end and it comes to a head, let's say.
Right.
There you go. I was trying to bring a bit of French in there because it's art en français.
So you're Ivan.
I play Ivan, yeah.
Simon,
yeah,
you're Serge, Don.
Yes.
And you're Mark, Keith, is that correct?
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. And then you're Barry, and you're Raymond, and you're Michael. Mm-hmm. It's very, very confusing, isn't it?
It's very confusing. I'm Don, and he's Keith.
And he's Simon.
Yeah. Oh, you've done very well.
Are you just Ray
all the time?
I'm just Ray all the time, yes.
It was confusing at times.
Raymond, when I'm in trouble, yeah. Was there any time in rehearsals for Art when you went into Bachelor's Walk mode and called him Raymond?
I think, you know what, honestly, I think the first kind of hour, the first 2 hours of the first rehearsal, we kind of knocked about a bit, had a bit of crack, and then we kind of got stuck into it, because normally with a play like this, you'd have maybe 4 or 5 weeks rehearsals. We had two and a half?
Well, yeah, close to three, really.
3 weeks in total. But yeah, we normally have seven weeks at this stage.
You turned up for about two. Oh, yeah.
I know you filmed not together, but you were in a John Carney thing for Prime Video.
Yes, Modern Love. Yeah, the second season of Modern Love.
Episode one.
Yeah, they shot two episodes in Ireland last year and we were in one of them. Although we didn't, myself and Don appeared in a scene together and Keith was in the episode as well. So we didn't actually see each other.
We didn't cross paths. The boys did a scene together, I didn't.
And is that sort of something that John does?
Not enough.
He should do a little more, shouldn't he?
Just for people who don't know, John Carney was the director of...
He was one of the writers and directors of Bachelor's Walk. And went on to do Once and Sing Street and Modern Love.
I suppose he thought that if he was doing something in Dublin and there was three other actors playing these parts, he might have got, you know, some emails.
Come here. So you've done this and it's streaming. How do you feel about this new way of doing things?
Well, it was very strange at the beginning, because when you finish five weeks rehearsal, you're ready to go out of the traps. We just went home. You're supposed to do it for 2 months in front of an audience and get it out of your system. Very odd to go back to the couch after that, because you've done quite an intense rehearsal period and then it's over. So it was weird and it was a bit strange, and we don't know what the show's going to be like.
And it was weird.
But now walking in here today, when it's on tonight now and for the next 4 nights, we're going, this is brilliant. It's done. We've nothing to do. Come on and talk about it, so it's great.
So your audience were the camera people?
Yeah, there was no audience, which is strange because it's a comedy. You know, normally when you're doing a show like that, you you not just react to, but you depend on those that laugh.
It gives you energy. It gives you a required, necessary energy.
Yeah. It also gives you that
when
half
there's
a
dead
sentence.
Air coming back at you and you're spinning out one-liners, that feels a little strange.
It was
strange.
Very strange.
Soul-destroying.
It's like going back to Thatcher's
Wharf.
But
it still works. I think that's just an actor thinking, oh my God, I would be getting a huge laugh now if an audience was here.
Yeah.
But I mean, the audience are watching on telly and they hopefully will
be
snigger. They don't have to laugh.
Walk, what we did have was every time we rehearsed a scene, we'd get a good old chuckle from the crew. And you know you're on the right track.
Yes. So I better tell you, before we move on from it, so art's available to stream now for a tenner. And you can go to the venue box offices, the Mill Theatre Dundrum, Lyme Theatre Limerick, Town Hall Theatre Galway, the Lyric Theatre Belfast, and on Green On in Letterkenny. And as you say, from tonight, 14th, to Sunday.
Yes, four nights. Yeah.
Okay, so Bachelor's Walk then. Mm-hmm. It was a moment, wasn't it? We were really fond of ourselves as a nation back then, weren't we? We were sort of so confident about things. The Celtic Tiger was just about to roar, or was it roaring?
Yeah,
it was just started. There was a few coffee shops around South Ann Street. There was one or two, and there was you could get a cappuccino somewhere.
But it's strange when you watch it back, particularly that first series, if you watch it, and the scenes where we're out and about in Dublin City Centre, all you can see is cranes.
Right.
Yes.
Like the amount of building that was happening, you know, along the quays, that whole South Quay was redeveloped, you know, in around Temple Bar. It's cranes everywhere.
2003.
Was that it?
Was it 2000?
2000, I thought we might
have. Was it 2000? Right.
2001 was the first year.
Yeah, and then,
We were 16 when we made it.
Yeah. So three lads living together in the Georgian house.
Yeah.
So you were Michael. Yeah. And Michael was studying law.
Well, you say studying. He was supposed to be attending the university. Right. Yeah. But Ray owned the house.
Raymond, was it? Ray Raymond.
Yeah.
I always seem to be the moneyed one, actually.
There you go.
I don't know how that is. But Raymond was lucky enough to be inheriting a house on the Quays, and he seemed to have these dodgy lodgers, really, and they used to just hang out with him. And they were loyal friends. But anyway, they were all kind of disasters in terms of their love lives and their own lives and their working lives, and it seemed to strike a chord with people, I suppose.
Yeah. You had a job. You did a paying job.
Yeah.
You
were
you were a film critic.
Is that a job?
but he was teaching. He was an aspiring
something.
Yeah.
I had more of a job than the other two.
Yes, you were the mature one.
Yes, I was the mature one.
Yes. And you were the flaky, very flaky.
I was the one that had to be looked after and babysat and sort of, yes, I was indeed, and didn't have a job at all, if I recall correctly.
Well, you did start Boland Enterprises.
I did start the Boland Corporation. I don't know if I made any money out of that corporation.
You went to London. I don't know what you did over there, but you didn't make anything. And then I worked at my father's sports shop. He had a sports shop which went into receivership because he never paid any tax.
It wasn't a given that you were going to jail. No. Was it? Or did you do what are very common now, I believe, in theatre?
Chemistry tests.
Did you do chemistry tests? No, I don't think so.
No, we didn't. No, I mean,
My first audition was for your role of Barry. I read for that. I was reading it and I said, I said, can I read for the other guy? I think I have a better crack at him. And John said, yeah, take it off, come back in about 20 minutes and we'll do that scene.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I auditioned for the Donegal Doctor, and which was a straight part. It wasn't funny at all. And the boys were pissing themselves laughing. And then they brought me back for Barry. I don't know how I felt about that. But I met Simon on my first audition. Simon I just saw on the TV because he was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Had lost horrifically. Tell us that story.
Sorry.
That's a brilliant story.
That's
a brilliant story. Go on.
It is, yeah. And I told you before, I'm sure you'll find it in the Orchard Archives.
It's like your summer of 69.
Yeah. So I was on Millionaire and lost money. And Keith was watching it and he related to me because I said I was an actor. And he was rooting for me. I remember you telling me that after. He was rooting because he was gone.
That's good. This guy doesn't have a penny. He needs this cash.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
Yeah, but he won the part in Bachelor's Walk. It was the same thing, the same money.
I better explain for our listeners, because there are people listening, so I better just explain for them. Just who haven't heard you tell the story.
I went on to Millionaire back in the days when Gable was doing it, and I was just a punter. And I got into the chair, got up as far as 16 grand, went for 32, got it wrong, so I won £1,000.
Did you tell the story that you wanted to buy an engagement ring?
They ask if you win the money, what would you do? And I said, I'd you know, get a corporate box at Old Trafford and I'll buy a car and go on Hollywood and get engaged to my girlfriend. And of course the audience loved that, and we didn't, so we lost. But I remember getting the question wrong and walking out of the studio, and I rang my granddad, who's since passed away. He was my phone friend. And I was in bits. It's like I walked out of a car crash, you know, because I had £16,000. And I said, he said, what happened? I said, I told him, and I said, I can't believe. He said, you can't believe what? I said, I lost. He said, what did you lose? He said, you've a cheque in your pocket for £1,000. And then 2 days later, a jeweller very kindly said, look, we'll give you an engagement ring. So we got married. And we've been happily married ever since.
Four boys.
But I had done the pilot for Bachelor's Walk before
that's
that.
That's right, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
So I was the only one of us that was in the pilot, because we did the pilot.
God, I'd love to see that.
The pilot, it still exists somewhere, yeah.
That has disappeared. I would love to see it.
But the pilot was very different, because I had three girls and three lads in the house. It was kind of like Friends.
Yes.
And Deirdre O'Kane was in it, Eva Bertistle, Paul Hickey played Raymond, Mark O'Halloran played Barry. And then we did the pilot for nothing, you know, because that's what you do. And then about 7 months later, I remember John rang me and said, they picked it up as a series, and I thought, great, I presume we were all going to be in it.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they've changed it. They like the girls' storylines, but they just want to leave the three lads in the house. And then I turned up, and the first person I met was Keith and then Don. So they recast. So I was the only actor that kind of made it from the pilot.
Right. And the series. The love interest in it.
But we had several.
Oh, yeah, several. There was a recurring love interest.
Initially, it was Alison Marcella, who's now with John Carney. There's a lot going on back in those days.
In real
together,
life.
Two kids now together. Life. Yeah. So there's a lot of love interest going around. But so she came and viewed a room in the house and we let her in. So that was the kind of my recurring love. But the lads all had love interests as well throughout the shows.
Yeah.
I got married in the series,
right,
and then separated
in the series.
And you had a baby.
Harry Boland.
I've asked you all. Well, like Keith, I haven't spoken to you, I think, but I've asked Don and Simon individually about, you know, the idea of it, bringing it back.
Yeah.
Because it'd be interesting to see how their lives have turned out.
Where they would be.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll just go around and see what you think. I won't do everybody with everybody. No. So Don, I'll ask you about, say, Michael, right? So Michael, just remind people at home.
I was talking to one of your researchers earlier, and she put me on. I said, Michael, I'd say he might have blagged his way into one of the corporates, and I said he'd be with either Google or something doing a bit of HR.
Michael couldn't spell HR.
He couldn't spell HR.
And I said that Barry would have done well out of the new coffee shops, and he would have a few trailers that he would be depositing on beaches and festivals.
And he'd be roasting his own
beans. Yeah, he'd be definitely turning up at an electric picnic selling something. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
I'd convince Barry to be in politics.
No, he's obviously in crime. We've seen him every Sunday night.
It's a beautiful segue.
Yes, you did that.
Tell us about Kin.
Yes, Barry's obviously turned to a life of crime. No, I always imagined Barry in Las Vegas or somewhere, just sort of, sort of managing Tom Jones and Celine Dion.
Tom Jones tribute act.
And what do you think Raymond would be doing, Simon?
I would say Ray is probably still in the house. He's got rid of us, but he's probably got a couple of dogs or cats.
Right.
All the hair is gone. The beard is snow white. He wears tatty cardigans and slippers.
I don't know where he's getting these ideas from.
I'd say he probably writes he does a column in the Phoenix or something.
I would disagree with you. I think he will have sold the house in the Keys. It's got too noisy in there around the boardwalk. And he's moved out to Wicklow in a kind of log cabin. He may be writing journalistic articles for the Phoenix in that, but he's also on his second book.
His second book. He's not. He's still on the Keys, living on his arse. That's what he's doing. It.
He's got rid of you two guys. That's the main thing.
Well, maybe he hasn't. Where do you think we'd be, Ray?
I'd say by the time they come around to filming this, we'll be nursing homes.
Someone like you, Michael. It always works out for people like him. It always sort of works out. I see Barry as that, you know, that forever young sort of thing. Still wearing a parka in his 40s. Yeah, you know, and taking apart the latest album by somebody, you know, Caldwell or something like that. You know, that sort of thing.
And what about the Journalist of the Year here behind?
Yeah, he'll be a lecturer, you know.
Something insipid.
Fulham Studies and UCG.
He'll have all these fawning students listening, hanging on his every word.
And
when he goes home, when he goes home to his wife, she says to him, I'm not one of your students. I don't have to listen to you blathering on about stupid
things. She's clearly a psychiatrist.
Yeah, the theme tune we took out. I think this is from the, it was.
That's it. Yeah, fantastic.
We were only talking about one of the qualities that made Bachelor's Walk was the music. We were saying.
Yes,
musically, and John was brilliant on that. What were we saying? We were talking about Kentucky Avenue, which was the end of the first series.
Yeah, the Tom Waits track at the very end of the first series.
And then May You Never by John Martin was used. Close to Me by The Cure.
Here's to the Losers.
We used that because we were on Today FM at the time. We used to tune in to see what music was being played.
Yeah, it was great.
And then we'd play it the next morning. Huge reaction. It was a cultural phenomenon, lads.
I think it was of its time, and it broke some ground because, you know, we've often said it in interviews over the years that the fourth star of the show was probably Dublin.
Yes.
Dublin hadn't been seen on the screen like that.
And it looked great.
And also at the time,
because we got out into the city among real people
we shot, they just
brought us in through Temple Bar, and that was a lovely thing.
Freedom was out as well, and then Fergus's wedding, like it was a real
time,
kind of a time for comedy, you know.
Is Keith in Kin? We've established that.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, really enjoyed Bachelor's Walk and would love all caps, to see an updated series with the three lads, and we've given them loads of ideas there.
The next best thing to that would be to watch Art.
It's streaming from tonight, and you can go to your venue box office, the Mill Theatre Dundrum, Lime Tree Theatre in Limerick, Town Hall Theatre Galway, the Derry Theatre Belfast, and on Green on Letterkenny.
That'll get you your Bachelor's Walk fix.
There you go. Simon Michael Evan. Thank you very much. I shouldn't have started that because I might be at the finish.
Good luck.
Serge Raymond Don. Thank you very much. Yes.
3 for 3.
And Mark Barry Keith. Yay! Thank you very much.
Raymond.
An RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
JB in New York City says, the last great show I remember before leaving Ireland for New York City, good memories, Bachelor's Walk. My wife has me watching Modern Love and obviously the current series with the Irish Connection I paid closer attention to. So John Carney, the guy who wrote and directed Bachelor's Walk, does that for Prime Video. It was great to see the two lads brought back good memories of home and of Bachelor's Walk. Barry was some messer, says JB in New York City. And what is the theme tune called? I don't have it to hand, but if you have a phone to hand and you have Shazam on it, I'll play it for you and I'll stop talking so you can Shazam it. Done. Have you Shazammed it? And back to nicknames. My dad and his brother used to live in London and a fella who worked with him gave them all nicknames. My dad was White Knuckles because of how he held the steering wheel when driving his brother's His brother's name was The Brief as he carried a briefcase to work. Elbows, as he was always elbows while eating beside him in cafe. And Just a Minute, and Weasel explains how two of them were like, and when I moved to London many years later was called White Knuckles Junior. So there, you see the nicknames go through generations. Now, Anish, Tosh, the Prief Skelton, and Oakdale, Barbany Kushla. Grandmother Barbara, thank you very much. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Philip Nolan has been on. He says, Shazam says no result. And then somebody says, that theme tune sounds like the one from The Odd Couple. So maybe it's one of those library type things, chapel music or something like that. Somebody says, will you go off and write something that sounds like The Odd Couple? And then they can use it for free. Isn't that the deal? Anyway, we will investigate that overnight. And if we find out anything, we'll tell you tomorrow. Please tell Don, he's gone now. I was in the coffee shop in Fields Shop in Skibbereen one day. Sat next to this lovely chatty lady who was so friendly. I wasn't in a great place myself. And she cheered me up no end. I later discovered she was Don's mum. We never know the time or the hour someone reaches out and makes a difference. And it matters. And that day it did for me. Every time I see her or hear Don, it brings back her kindness. That's Maria in West Cork. That's lovely. And our boss is called Broken Arrow. He's no good, but you can't fire him. And the slow sets were also known as the Lurch. Don't know why that is, but we always looked forward to them, says John in Clondalkin. They don't do slow sets anymore, do they? No, they don't. I'll ask Greg O'Shea when he comes in. He'd know that sort of thing. And Caroline always wanted an autograph from Brian Adams. I can't help you out on that, Caroline, because I'm here and he's in Canada. But he is coming to town next year at the end of May. End of May, early July. End of May, sorry. Here we go with this one. Yes. It's our last quiz of today. The 14th of October. 10 questions on the way from events that happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries, and a prize. It's a two-night stay at the Kingsley Hotel in Cork. Beautiful bedrooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa, and an extensive health club. You can find out more at thekingsley.ie. Hello, Sandra Walsh.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You're in.
I'm shocked that I got through.
Yes. It's difficult enough, but here you are, and we're talking, and we're live on the radio. No pressure, Sandra. So you're in Ballinan, County Mayo.
Yep, that's where I am.
Yep, and you're at home with the childer.
I am at home with one childer, and himself has gone to collect the little lad from play school. But uh-huh. I will be home with the two children in about right. 5 minutes.
And what ages are they?
Ada is 8 months, and Olin is 2.5.
Great. So Ada and Olin.
Olin, yeah.
So Ada is a girl, is it?
Yeah, sorry, Ada's a little girl, yeah.
Yes, and Olin's a boy, yes, yeah. And your partner's gone off to collect
Olin,
yes, right. Okay, and Rory's the partner, he's a school teacher.
Yep.
Yeah. Is it primary or secondary?
Primary. He teaches first class, I think.
Where did you meet?
We met years ago and we were about 14 and we met there about 5 years ago.
Again?
That's it.
And yeah. was there ever a slow set? That's the reason I'm asking, how did you meet? Was there slow sets and discos when you were courting?
There would have been, but not. We didn't do a slow set together, but there would have been on the go. No.
That's important that everybody knows that. We did not do a slow set together. So you're planning on going to Kilkenny for maybe over midterm?
Yeah, we said we might go down for a couple of days. Rory's granny is down there, so we haven't seen her for a small bit with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
She's 96.
Oh, yeah. 96, isn't that a great age?
Yeah, she's great.
Brilliant, and that'll be lovely for her to see her great-grandchildren.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. She's met Olin, but he was very small, but she obviously hasn't met Ada.
Oh, that's great. That's something to look forward to. Okay, you're up against Brendan Carr, Sandra. Hello, Brendan.
How you doing, mate?
Say hello to Sandra there.
How you doing, Sandra?
Yeah. I'm good, Brendan. How are you?
Not so bad, thanks.
Now, you have to guess what Brendan does for a living, Sandra. Just by his tone of voice there, any idea, no?
A bread man.
No, he's a guard. He's a guy.
Right.
Yes, yeah. And you're off work today, Brendan?
Off today, right, yeah.
And you're up there in Ballybuffet in Donegal, but originally from Bundoran.
That's right.
What do you do on your day off?
Just bits about the house now.
Yeah. Who's at home?
Nobody today. They're, the youngest is at school. She's football training, so.
Right. What age is the youngest?
She's 17.
So is she fifth or sixth year?
She's sixth year.
Sixth year, right, okay. That's pressure. And the rest of the children are in college or at work?
There's two working away, and the older girl is in her last year and teaching in Marino.
Right, okay. So you nearly have an empty nest, will you? Soon enough?
Just being the dog and the wife.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to it or dreading it?
I suppose hard to know.
Yeah, well, we wait and see, should you? Okay, so it's the last day of our quiz of today, Sandra and Brendan. So it's the last time I'd say 5 questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Okay, Sandra, your first question is this. Today is singer-songwriter Usher's birthday. He's a friend of Justin Bieber's. Can you tell me what year Usher was born in? 1978 or 1981?
1981.
He was born in 1978. Okay, that was a tough enough question. Brendan, on this day in 1977, singer and actor Bing Crosby died. But can you tell me how old he was when he died? 74 or 78?
78.
He was 74. Okay. So nobody's on the scoreboard. It's an audio one for you, Sandra. Your second question. Have a listen to this. How much
do you know about crocodiles?
Oh, I've always tried to keep them at arm's length myself.
Cute little nippers, ain't they?
I don't suppose those potential overnight bags are orphans.
Oh, no, we have some moms and dads as well.
Now, on this day in 1927, Roger Moore, British actor, was born in London. He was most famous for playing that iconic character in several movies. Can you name the character?
James Bond.
Correct answer. You're on the scoreboard. And for you, Brendan, have a listen to this.
No, that is not cute.
Yeah,
I need someone to make me laugh.
Where's Kim?
Kim is always late.
Get out of our way.
Stop.
On this day in 2007, that reality television show about the lives of a family in LA premiered on the E! Cable network in the US. Can you name the show?
Kardashians.
That'll do me, yeah.
Kardashians, you're keeping up with the Kardashians. Kardashians, it'll do me. That's enough. Right, one all. Question number three for you, Sandra. On the 14th of October, 1926, Winnie the Pooh made his literary debut. The book written by A.A. Milne follows Winnie and his friends. Can you name Winnie the Pooh's friend who's a donkey and who's sad all the time?
Eeyore
is correct. Well done. Brendan, on this day in 2019, the Booker Prize was jointly awarded to Margaret Atwood and Bernardine Evaristo. Margaret Atwood's 1985 dystopian novel set in New England in the near future has become a multi-million dollar television show of the same name. Can you name the show and book?
Is it The Handmaid's Tale?
It's correct answer. Yes, it is. Music question for you, Sandra. Have a listen. It's that singer was born on this day in 1940. Can you name him?
Cliff Richard.
Yeah, 81 today, Cliff Richard. Hard to believe. Brendan, have a listen to this. Singer Shaznay Lewis was born on this day in 1975. She was one of the four members of that old girl group who went on to have the third best-selling girl group album of all time in the UK. Can you name the band? No?
No, I just can't think.
All Saints. All Saints. Okay. Now, you're on two, Brendan. Sandra, you're on three. If you get this right, Brendan can't catch you. If you get it wrong and then Brendan gets his final question correct, we're into a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 1994, two Israelis and a Palestinian shared the Nobel Peace Prize for their efforts and work on the Oslo Accords. What is the capital city of Israel, Tel Aviv or Jerusalem?
Tel Aviv.
Is the correct answer. You're today's Ooh. Winner.
Thanks a million. Hard luck, Brendan.
Thanks, Sandra. Good luck. Well done.
Brendan, on a normal day, it would be hard luck. But this is no normal day because this is our final day of our quiz of today. So you too are going to the Kingsley Hotel in Cork.
That's brilliant, right?
Yes, yeah, so there you go. That's a nice little surprise for you, isn't it? Yeah. And you're going as well, Sandra. You don't have to go together. Separate packages. Right? Separate packages. And both of you get mugs as well. It's all great. All brilliant. All brilliant. So well done to you both and enjoy the break and send us a postcard.
Thanks a million.
That's good.
Yeah,
thanks very much.
Well done, Brendan. Well done, Sandra. Bye now. Bye. Brendan in Ballyfey and Sandra in Ballina. We'll take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Greg O'Shea, how are you doing?
Good now, yourself. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. This is 2 days in a row we've had Love Island contestants. We had Toby from this year's Love Island on.
Yeah, he was over doing his Boohoo event, wasn't he?
That's it, exactly, yeah. So you won it back in 2019.
I did, yeah.
And then you decided to take a step back from all of that Love Island celebrity stuff and play with the Ireland Rugby Sevens in the Olympics,
yeah,
which was supposed to happen last year but happened this year. And now you're back being... What?
Yeah, that's a big question, man. Yeah, so I won the show 2 years ago, and unfortunately, all the amazing stuff that comes after it, like what Toby was over here doing, all that Boohoo Man stuff, just didn't go with my long term plan of going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I had to just to say no to all that stuff that was getting offered to me and get back here to Ireland, get training, and thank the Lord it paid off. And we got to the Olympics. We went to Tokyo this summer. So it's all been worth it.
And there was not just from everybody else, but you had high expectations, didn't you, in the Olympics?
Yeah, well,
for yourselves.
It was more so us getting there as a program. Do you know what I mean? The Irish Sevens program, because 5 years ago it wasn't even in existence.
Right.
So to go from there and go through all the different leagues, all the different seasons, and actually qualify for Olympics was huge for us. And unfortunately, we didn't perform as well as we could have, but we still came 10th in the world, which is amazing.
Brilliant. Will you explain to people about Sevens rugby and Ireland's place in that?
Yeah, it's a fair enough question. So Sevens rugby is basically what it says in the tin.
Yeah.
You all see your Munster and Leinster's, that's 15 aside. Sevens rugby is 7 aside. It's more entertaining, there's more tries. The games are only 14 minutes long. So I really enjoy it, and it's kind of for the faster fellas. And basically the Sevens programme only got made up about 5 years ago in Ireland, and it's just been flying ever since. Like, we've gone onto the World Series, we've gone to a World Cup, and we've gone to the Olympics, and there's men and women's side, and it's just a good way of getting...
And would there be people... Obviously there are, because I'm sitting here talking to you, but there'll be people who wouldn't make it onto the 15s who'd make it onto the 7s.
So it's kind of
seen... Is there any crossover?
There's a little bit of a crossover. So it's seen as kind of a developmental step for getting into the Irish 15s team.
Okay.
So you look at people like Shane Daly or Hugo Keenan or Will Connors, all lads like that came through the 7s programme and went back into Leinster or Munster and got into the 15 side of things. So it's seen as a really good way of developing your skills, because you're so exposed on a 7s pitch.
Yeah.
And you have to cover the whole thing with 6 other men.
That's be very fit.
Yeah, oh man, you're basically sprinting for 7 minutes at a time, but it's incredibly fun. Like, and if someone messes up, it's try time. That's why it's so entertaining for the viewer. Do you know what I mean?
And it's not as rough, really, is it?
Well, I don't know, but I'm sitting here across from you with a broken nose.
Yeah,
there,
but so, that didn't come from sevens, did it?
It did, yeah. Did it? It came from training in sevens.
Oh,
yeah.
Training in sevens. That's worse again.
One of my mates.
So you have a splint
head,
on your nose.
I do.
Right. And so one of your mates broke your nose.
Yeah, in training, yeah.
Nice,
Harry
nice guy.
I dove to tackle a guy and he kneed me in the face and crushed my skull and broke my nose. And that was 2 years ago now at this stage. But I've just decided to retire from rugby, so it's time to get all these little injuries and ailments fixed up. So hence the surgery.
It's mad. You're sitting in front of me, 26,
yeah.
And using the word retire.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? I didn't really want to retire per se. Like, sevens is the best job in the world. Like, you get to travel the world with your friends, play rugby, but it's just not financially secure as compared to the 15 side.
Okay.
And eventually you just have to kind of be realistic and realise that you can't play it until you're 35 and retire with loads of money in the bank. But it's amazing.
But can you make a living out of it?
No, you can't.
You can't
at all. No, you compare it very similar to the Ga lads in that you have to have a job on the side to fund yourself.
Okay. So it's nearly amateur, is it?
It's professional. You get paid a little bit, but nowhere near enough to live. Like, and it's just the way it is. It's just seen as a developmental kind of a sport in Irish rugby, and that's not bashing it. It's just the way it is. It's seen as more of a...
But surely then, if they want us to perform on the world stage, they'll need to pay people more to keep them...
Well, that's probably an argument, is that we have gotten to the top competitions in the world, but we haven't won one of them yet. And
are you playing against people who are paid a lot more than you?
So each country kind of decides on themselves.
Yes.
But some guys are able to play sevens full time, where we have to all have like second jobs on the side.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And it has worked to so far. Like, we've gotten to all the major competitions, but maybe to maybe win one of them, there might have to be a bit more funding to the players. But it is going very well so far on women's and men's.
Okay, it's an opportunity now. Now, Greg O'Shea, for you to air your ailments. So you have a splint on your nose. That's from a broken nose. So that's one thing. What else did you get done?
So that's kind of the main one, was getting the nose fixed.
Yeah.
I taking two surgeries to do that. And then I might get my skull fixed. That got crushed in, so I might have to fix that one. And then everything else is just kind of... I'm gradually starting to just feel better now that I haven't been getting into contact and training over the last couple of weeks. But I miss it. I miss the training with the lads and I miss the competitive edge. But all good things have to come to an end, you know?
Yeah, at 26.
At 26, yeah. But a lot of things in the pipeline now.
Yeah, so you want to get back. You did 2FM, The Breakfast Show.
I did.
How long did you do it for?
I did that for 10 weeks with Darren Gary, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Even though it was a really early mornings now, it was great crack. I loved it.
And you do a bit of punditry as well for Joe.ie.
Yeah, so I've just signed up with Joe.ie to do the House of Rugby for the whole season for the URC. So I'm really enjoying that. That's presenting and in rugby space, so I love it.
And you've done 5 out of 8 exams to become a solicitor.
Yeah. So in the lockdown, when we were all stuck at home with stuff to do, I decided, you know, I might as well do some of the FE1s because I have a law degree.
Well, what does that stand for, FU?
FE1s are just the name put on the exams to get into the Law Society of Ireland.
Okay.
They're ridiculous exams. Like, you have to, even if you get a law degree, you still have to do these exams.
Right.
It's kind of like getting into medicine, becoming a doctor. You still have to do loads of exams after. Same with accountancy. So I said I'd do them just to kind of get the qualification under my belt. And in the future, kind of as a backup plan, if I'm going to be a solicitor, then I could be a solicitor. But I don't really want to do that right now. It doesn't excite me, you know.
So you've done 5 out of 8?
5 out of 8. 3 more to do. I've 6 years to do 3 more.
Oh, so. That was my next question. Yeah. So you have those in your back pocket.
That's just kind of like a really Irish mentality. Get the degree, get the qualification, have it in the back pocket in case you need it.
It's solid.
Yeah,
because it means as well that you're not desperate about things. You're more relaxed about if you know that you can fall back on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's the dream?
The dream at the moment, man, is similar enough to what you're doing. I love presenting in media and broadcasting. I've really gotten into that since off the back of Love Island. I got a load of opportunities, as you mentioned there. I did 2FM and I did TV shows and stuff like that. And I get such an adrenaline buzz off it. I don't know if you still get it now after years of doing it.
Of course I do. Yeah.
Being live, it's just such a nice buzz. You know, you're talking to people, and I really have enjoyed that. So getting the gig with Joe.E is really nice, and hopefully I'll pick another few along the way now that I'm...
And you're in Limerick, are you?
I'm based in Dublin.
No, but you're from Limerick.
I'm a Limerick man, yeah.
And would you consider local radio?
Maybe, yeah.
Just to sort of cut your teeth, so to speak.
Maybe, we'll see what comes along. I'm not going to rush into like jumping on the first radio station that comes to me, but I've kind of just different projects as well. I want to get into fitness and also capitalise on all the social media stuff I've gone on at the moment. So different projects going on.
Talk to me a little bit about Love Island and the whole phenomenon. I suppose you could argue that your year was the best year.
A lot of people say that.
It was peak Love Island.
Yeah, it was kind of hit the apex of that year.
Yeah, because you won, and then Maura Higgins was there as well. And there was just something about it. Yeah. It seemed like everybody was watching it.
That year, 2019, it just seemed to really peak. There was really good characters, you said, Maura Higgins and people like that. And it's just... people really got into the story. There's such good stories developed, and then I happened to come in at the end and win the thing. So it was really, I think Ireland really got behind it because there was myself and Maura on the show. And this year it also was a great show. You were talking to Toby yesterday.
Yeah,
I just don't think the viewership was as high as the year I was on it for some reason.
Like you were getting 6 million in the UK.
Yeah, maybe it was something to do with the Euros being on at the same time as well.
No, the other thing was is that there seems to have been a little bit of a sort of a backlash, has there? People are questioning the whole thing.
I think people are starting to question people's intentions going on the show now,
explain that to me.
Yeah. There's a bit of people coming around online saying that people only go on Love Island to get fame and to get money and to get all the deals after it, rather than actually going on for the idea of the show is to find love.
Right.
Which... it is possible. You look at people like Molly and Tommy and you probably don't know who they are, do you?
I watched a bit of it. I know Faye because she stood out this year. Yeah.
I'm talking about my year.
Oh, your year. Yes. So I watched a good bit of your year. Yeah.
There's a few couples that it has worked out. And even in the first season of Love Island, some couples are married with children now. So it is...
Right.
The show has worked and the whole idea behind the show does work. But I think because of what's happened off the back of it for other people... there's a question whether around the proper intentions are people are going on for love or they're going on for deals.
And you watched it this year. When you watch it now, because you were in there and you know how it works, sort of the machinations of it, and can you see the manipulation that's going on?
I wouldn't say manipulation.
Right, what word would you use?
To be honest, everything that happens on the show is completely... a person's own autonomy. Like they're not told to say anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But a producer will come out of a hidden wall or something and they'll be like, Greg, we want you to, just use the girl's name, I was on the show with Amber, go over there and get Amber and tell her how you feel about her. So then the producer will leave and I'll get up then and you'll see me walk over and go, can I pull you for a chat? And you have a chat. But every word that's coming out of my mouth is my own word.
You may not, right, at that particular time of that particular day, want to have that chat with Amber, but the producer has told you to do it.
Exactly, because you're trying to make a TV show.
Yeah, of course. I understand.
Otherwise, people will be sitting around in a suntan in front of the whole summer.
I understand how it works. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm just trying to understand it a little bit better. Yeah. So you and Amber won, right? And then you came out. And then, what sort of, just try and remember that feeling coming out, because you were there and all this was happening.
Yeah.
All these millions of people were watching you.
Yeah.
And they all wanted a bit of you then when you came out.
It was madness, man. Everyone did a piece of me. It was absolutely bizarre. But once I kind of decided what I was doing, that I was coming back to Ireland, I was going back to training, and I kind of went back into the life that I had before, and I was kind of surrounded by friends and family that kind of protected me from all that.
Yeah.
But then obviously all the kind of... SH1T hit the fan when the British media came out and said that I quotation mark, broke up with Amber over text, and I just got killed online by a load of British people, like so much hate going towards my friends, my family, and it just was terrible because it wasn't the truth. And eventually my truth came out a couple of months ago. I decided to do an article on it and do an interview on it, and my truth's out there now, but the damage had already been done. But look, that's just
isn't
the way it is.
Isn't that dangerous enough though, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter how much aftercare there is and how much they support you and how much they tell you that this might happen.
Yeah.
When it happens, you're sort of on your own, aren't you?
You are, man, yeah. And that was kind of a slap of reality when it all started happening. I was like, this is not what I signed up for here. And they tried to warn me. They were like, look, there are a lot of negatives can come from this. And I was like, yeah, it'll kind of be fine. And I kind of tried to pretend like I was the big man. But deep down, it does hurt. Like when thousands of people are saying stuff about you, it starts to get at you a little bit. But I kind of just worked my way through the storm, and it's nicely balanced out now. And I think I said I was going to go home and go to the Olympics, and I did that.
Yes.
I think people have now bought back into me. Okay. And realized, oh, maybe
bought back into
yeah,
you.
maybe he's not full of crap. He'd said what he was going to do. Do you know what I mean?
How do you feel then after that experience of, you know, being trolled on social media? How do you feel about that world? Because that's, you live in that world, really.
Yeah.
You depend on it, don't you?
Yeah. I just find it's quite fickle, like, do you know what I mean? If you're not giving people what they want, if you're not following the narrative, then you get shunned. Do you know what I mean? And that's just the way it is, especially over in the UK.
What's the narrative, do you think?
The narrative is, I was supposed to follow what you're supposed to do when you win the show. Is go to the UK, all the events, be the couple, do the deals, like, and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong, I took deals that worked with my training schedule and at the time. But it's just people didn't appreciate that I kind of went against the curve and stuck with what I was was right to me and what I was doing before the show.
You could understand, because you hear mad figures like getting 20 grand to open a nightclub and stuff like that. Like, that's crazy money, isn't it? For one night's work.
Yeah, it wouldn't be up towards 20 grand now, but it'd be a couple of grand now to stand outside a nightclub and take photos with kids. Like, you know, it's madness, like, the whole thing. But look, that's
and
for
do,
some
do,
people.
Do you sing or do you DJ? No?
No, they wouldn't. They just stand there and
do
take photos.
Stand like, or car to be riding.
You probably should if you're getting paid that much, shouldn't you? Yeah. So that's just one route you can take. And who says that's wrong? Like, do you know what I mean? That's great for some people.
Do you think it'll last? Do you think it'll... Love Island.
Do you know what? I think the show is so big that it will last. It might need a bit of a rejig somewhere. Like, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe more Irish people in there.
Yeah.
But I think the show has a great idea around it, and it's just such a monster that I don't think it's going
to
stop. Yeah.
Back to medical matters. So you went and they fixed your nose, and you were told to leave the splint on for what, 10 days and not to get it wet. And what did you do?
Yeah. So the first time I got it done, I let it get wet, and the splint came off after a couple of days.
Okay.
So the surgeon was like, well, we're going to have to do it again now, Greg.
Right. So this is, what day are you on now?
So I got a second surgery, and I'm just a week post. So I literally got a plaster cast taken off yesterday.
Right.
So a plaster cast you'd have on your arm or your leg.
On your face?
On my face. Wow. It wasn't ideal. You can see it on my Instagram if you want. And now I'm in a splint. So.
And final question, are you in a relationship now, Greg O'Shea?
Oh, that's the big question. Do you know what? There is someone that I've been close with over the last while, but the pandemic really got in the way. So we're trying to see how that works out now and then.
Right. That's a very non-committal answer.
Yeah.
Anyway, Greg, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for
having
me.
Good luck with whatever you do.
Appreciate it.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.